This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Always get ready for your tailgate by going to Brewers Outlet. Imports Domestics Microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. Roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You know, they announced the Ford Frick Award finalists. As far as I'm concerned, he should have been one of them, but that's just a personal opinion because I consider him such a close friend. Wheels, welcome.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. My ship has sailed for that award, but I have a lot of good friends that have won it and more that are eligible from what I see this year, so that's terrific.
I know, but I'm a firm believer that you should be in. That's me. That's
well,
me.
Thank you. I enjoyed your intro about Penn State sports and more, so I guess the more.
You're always the more. All right. Pete Rose passed away this week.
Yeah.
Okay, bring us back to when he signed the four-year deal with the Phillies and what it meant to the franchise at that moment, considering the franchise's history to that point.
Well, it meant a lot because, you know, we'd been through the playoffs and losing in 76, 78, 76, 77, 78 when you only, quote-unquote, only had to win three games and you went to the World Series. So now all of a sudden they pull off this move to bring Pete in for the 79 season. He was still a really, really good player at that time. And, you know, there was that the jockeying for who was going to sign him. You know, the Cardinals were going to give him a brewery, a distributorship, and Pirates were going to give him racehorses and all that stuff. But he always said that he had friends with the Phillies, and the day that he was going to sign, he said, I'm signing with a National League team where I have some good friends. And I'll never forget my phone ringing that morning. And the guy who always had more information before it happened, Larry Bowa, was on there saying, we got him. We got him. He means us because I'm one of his friends. So, and as usual, Bowa was right. So, you know, it was no guarantee the Phillies were going to win with him there. But it sure made things a lot better, and it brought in that veteran presence. And, you know, you talk about the missing, quote-unquote, missing piece to a puzzle. I don't have any doubt in my mind that Pete was that guy that came in because he told Mike Schmidt he was the best player in the league, and Schmidt kind of looked at him like, are you kidding me? You know, you just came from Bench and Perez and Morgan and those guys. So he turned Mike Schmidt around too mentally and helped Mike Schmidt become the greatest third baseman of all time. And, of course, Phillies won a World Series in 1980 with him.
On an everyday basis, you know, you go through a long season. Wheels, what was it like to sit down and just talk baseball with him and the insights that he could give you on baseball? Because he has such a great mind.
He did. He did. And you know what, Steve? I always said, if you had a chance to spend, and you did, to spend years and years with one of the top people in the history of your business, let's say, in our case, sports, you had Joe Paterno and I had Pete Rose for 5 years. Yeah. And it was like a PhD in the game because he would talk to you. He would get on the bus and sit beside you. He'd sit beside me sometimes and he'd go, Wheels, in the fifth inning with two outs and nine, that, what do you think? I think, what do I think? What do you think? But he would do that. You know, he would ask your opinion on things, and then you could talk to him about anything at any time. I never saw him get condescending with even a reporter who might ask him a dumb question. He might give him that look of his with those bird-like eyes that he had. But he was very gracious with the media and with us and people that he trusted around the club like us. boy, he'd tell you everything, and you could learn so much from him. And I told him that later on when we would, you know, would get together and talk, that how grateful I was for those 5 years.
It's interesting because you mentioned with Joe. Joe would bring up a topic, and he'd talk to me about the topic, and then he'd want my opinion on the topic. And then we'd go back and forth. You want to know why we'd go back and forth? He wanted to see how committed I was. See, what was my commitment to my opinion? Right? And
interesting.
We always had, like, those kind of fun little mini talks along the way.
Yeah.
I still ask questions today of people I interview based on the things I learned from him.
Wow.
That tells you everything about what the Joe experience was like.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, like, I had an experience with him when I was 21 years old for one football season at the student radio station, and it was something I'll never forget. But to have look, when you do a pregame show with somebody or do a radio show with somebody the way you do, they trust you. And they'll tell you a lot of stuff, as you know. They'll tell you a lot of stuff off the air that they know you won't use, but it'll always lead you in the right direction. And Pete was that kind of guy. You know, he would give you that kind of stuff. You know, if he thought he could hit some guy, you know, the guy had nothing, you know, he would tell you. And, you know, you would look forward to seeing how he would face him that night and things like that. But those kind of guys, when they trust you, boy, you can learn so much. And I know Joe trusted you a lot, and Pete trusted us.
Yeah. So when it comes to Philadelphia, we know that he grew up in Cincinnati. That's his town. I got it. But what made him love his time in Philadelphia? Because obviously he did.
Well, he wanted to win. You know, that's what it was. You know, hey, look, Pete was one of those guys that no matter where he went, the team booed him until they got him. And that's what happened when he came to Philadelphia. Once he came to Philadelphia, all those boos became cheers. But I think one of the reasons that I know the main reason he liked playing in Philadelphia was because the fans were baseball fans. They knew the game. They were passionate about it the way he was passionate about everything about the game. And they wanted to win. And those were the qualities that Pete had as an athlete, as a baseball player. He loved being in Philadelphia. He used to laugh about, you know, how they used to boo him and yell at him and throw stuff at him and say this and that about him, and now they love me. But he said he knew that would happen as soon as he came to the Phillies. Now, did he know that we were going to win? No. But did he think we would? Absolutely. You know, he said, I didn't come here to lose. He said, I got two World Series rings, two championships. I won another one. And this team, you know, basically that he was surrounded by at that time, had come so close, as we said. He knew that this team could win, but it just was going to take a lot of dedication by a lot of people, and he really kept them focused.
Now, we know how this all ended up and played out. In retrospect, is there any compromise you could have seen that at least would have allowed Pete Rose to get on the ballot that way, like Bonds got on the ballot, Clemens got on the ballot, and the voters then decided yay or nay? Did you see any compromise along the way based on what you know about the rules of baseball and how it works?
No, I really didn't. And I knew that the people that run the sport were hardcore about it. And I think more than anything, you know, you and I have talked about this. I was told when I was 25 years old, my first day there, to read the board in the clubhouse, and it says if you bet on baseball, you're banned. You're banned from the game.
Yeah.
But not only did that happen with him, Steve, but he wouldn't come clean. He just kept lying about it and lying about it. And then by the time he finally came clean, it was always with qualifiers. And so I think he was his own worst enemy as far as that goes. And now people say, well, look at all the gambling sites and sports now. I said, I know, I understand what you're saying. But the temperament of the time from Major League Baseball was no. If they didn't say this, but I've always believed that if he'd have come clean, there'd have been a period of 10 years. Or
yes, I agree.
Who knows, whatever.
Yeah.
And he'd been on the ballot.
Yeah, no, I agree. Look, Mike Schmidt went to bat with him, with Bud Selig.
Yeah. Right?
Went to bat with Bud Selig, along with Joe Morgan. So
yep.
Selig met with him. And what, you know, and after he laid out, hey, look, no more association with casinos, no more association. What's the first thing Pete did? He went to sportsbook that night.
Exactly.
Right? Because he had a promotional thing. He wanted to make the money.
Steve, I sat, look, as I told you, I was really close with him. You know me, I don't like to name it, and right. him, but I was really close with him. And yeah. you know, we were great after he left, and he's in town managing, and I'm sitting in his office because Bruce Ruffin had pitched a game that night. It was a rookie, and I thought he'd pitched pretty well, and I want to go down and talk to Pete about some things and ask him about Ruffin. He said, I didn't see much there. You know, I don't think he's got that much stuff. So, and then he looked at me, and he can't make this up. He looked me right in the eyes, and he said, Wheels, I didn't bet on baseball. And I'm going, Pete, I didn't ask you. But he felt, for whatever reason, he had to say that, and that was when he was in his period of lying. Even the people that he knew him and cared about him. Did I know he had done anything like that? Heck no. I didn't know any of that sort of stuff. I know he loved action. I know he loved to bet on the dogs, greyhounds in St. Petersburg in spring training, and he always would ask about. He used to talk to me about Penn State football. He knew college football inside and out.
I know
he'd
he
ask
did.
Me who do you like this week with Penn State? You know, I go, oh, Pete, you know, I don't like to do that stuff because I don't want to get into point spread. Come on, who do you like? So that's what he was, Steve. He just liked action.
And again, we know what the laws are today. 30-something states now have sports book, Pennsylvania being one of them. In my broadcasting class, I said, look, I ask everybody, who's made bets? Oh, not all, but most hands go up.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, let me give you a piece of advice. Never bet on a game that you are covering. I said, because it's going to jade how you cover the game. And that's the advice I give them. If you're standing there, I mean, what would you tell them? Same thing or not?
That's great advice. You know, I've never thought of that. You know, not being someone who's ever taught that. My only feelings about it on a personal level is I'm so glad I don't have to be on the telecast reading those odds.
Oh, I know.
As
yes.
they go on during. When Tom has to do that McCarthy, I go, oh, God, I'm so happy I'm not there and have to do that. And I'm not trying to be, you know, Father Flanagan here right now about everything, but it just turns me off. It just, I don't get it. Oh, I do get it. I understand why.
Yeah.
You know, they need the revenues are there for the sports and all that. But I just worry you're creating a class of kids that are gamblers and that aren't really fans. Yeah. That they're just betting on moments and they're not going to be lifetime fans. And I think it's changed sports in a way that people are nastier now because they lost some money on somebody.
You are so right about that. Something I pointed out when this first came out 5 years ago. I said, you're going to get people getting angrier about results. I said, even when their team wins, because it's personal when you have money on it. I'll give you an example last week. People are asking me in the parking lot, do you think they can cover the 19.5? And I said to them, I looked at them and said, I don't care if they win by one. I said, I just want to win and get the heck out of here. I said, I don't care about that stuff. And you're the same way.
Well, you can make light of it, too, yeah. Because, the 2 games ago when the score was getting so high whatever it was, and you said, well, there's some people really interested in this.
I did say
whether
that.
These points count or not. And I laughed out loud. Cause, you know, obviously I knew what you meant. that just made me laugh because, yeah. Well, typical you and Jack, you're all over everything.
Oh, God. Yeah, I looked over. Jack's got this smirk on his face. There are some people who said whether he knocks this one in or not. So look, I'm not going to bring you on here just to do this. Okay? Wheels and I always, okay, now here's your chance. Okay? I'm going to let you ask a couple. Go ahead.
Well, the one thing I got to tell you, the one thing I really worry about now is all these injuries that are early on and, you know, losing a couple kids that they basically kicked them out of the program and all that on defense before the season and all that. You've always talked to me about the depth that they've been putting together the last few years. Mm-hmm. I know it's early, but is there still enough depth there to deal with all this stuff?
Yeah, there is, and let's start with this. The staff is very high in Dwan Lane, which helps. Mm. Now, how he's integrated So they give him enough playing time to gain more confidence. That's going to be the key. When you look at the offensive line against Illinois, Wormley got poked in the eye, right? Had to leave. Nelson got poked in the eye, had to leave.
Yeah.
I'm no expert. It just seems like hands to the face to me, but I'm no expert.
Yeah. Really.
Now, are they going to be fine? Yes. But last week, Ioane moves over to right guard. They bring Cooper Cousins in the game. And Nolan Rucci, who had never practiced at guard, played a few plays at guard in the game.
Wow.
And did well enough. That's, you know, when you're practicing in such a way where you're giving guys multiple positions to work at, it gives you the best opportunity to still put the best five available guys on the field and not just have a two ascend to a one when you may have a better option because you practiced it that way. And they've done that. That's why they have the depth they have.
Yeah, and just watching, it's been a while. You know, you watch Penn State offensive line dominate the line of scrimmage the way they've been doing it. You know, going forward, that's something I'm really. You mentioned Ioane. Is he the offensive lineman that they put in motion?
Yes, he's the offensive lineman they put in motion, and then he got invaluable experience because he's practiced at center in practice, but against Kent State, he did several series of playing at center. And again,
yeah.
what's the idea behind that? Say something were to happen to Dawkins. I still want my five best available guys out there. He'd be one of them, and he can play that spot, and that really helped.
Yeah, there's so many things about that game Saturday that I like, but I know you and Jack had to enjoy when Singleton smoked that linebacker and then went out and caught the pass and then knocked a corner or safety over.
It's funny because you watch Donko on that play. Singleton gets this guy in the air.
Ooh.
And you look at Donko. Donko's like looking up like, yeah, there he goes. And then he gets out and he catches the pass and he blows through two other guys.
Ooh.
You're talking about 227 pounds, Wheels. 227.
Yeah.
And he's just cut and he's a thick-bodied kid where he doesn't look 227. He looks like he's 205. And he's just, a fabulous player.
Yeah, with that speed of his, I mean, you expect him to be more of a scat back and that Allen is the guy that's going to be knocking people over. Oh. Fat man's going to be knocking people over, but they can both really get positive yardage. That's what I love watching.
Well, Fat Man like invites contact.
he does.
Got guys cutting away from people.
He
looks like the guy he cuts toward him.
Well, it that game was really fun. I'm not going to be one of those ones to look ahead, but the USC thing should really be a challenge, don't you think? With the travel and all the other things involved in playing a game like that.
Yeah, they're leaving Thursday, so they're not going to. You know, so UCLA, for example, not making the trip until Friday. But Penn State's going out there. But it's also a long, as you know, I'm not telling you. I'm talking to a guy that's flown a billion miles here. I mean, it's about an hour to an hour and 10 minutes longer going west. So they're going to go out Thursday, and then they're going to work out Friday. And then play Saturday, and that's how they're going to do it. And USC, you know, Moss is a good quarterback. Branch is great on returns and as a wide receiver. In fact, they've got it with Hudson and Lane. They've really got some terrific players in their pass game. The running game with Marks is very good. The area where they are better is they are a better defensive team this year than they were the last 2 years. Now, are they great defensively? No, but they're better. And there's no question about that they're a better defensive team than they have been the last 2 years.
Yeah, like last year, it seemed like anybody that played USC was a track meet. It's just how many points were you going to throw up? I mean, they'd throw them up too, but they didn't seem to be playing. I've watched them a couple times, and look, they should have great athletes out there, just be out from the area where they can recruit with their NIL money and because they're USC.
Really. Right, I agree, and that's what I think was always baffling for them. Yeah, because this is how they masked statistically defensive problems. Remember a couple of years ago they led the nation in takeaways?
Yeah.
A lot of those takeaways happened after somebody drove the ball 60 yards. Right? That's, right? And so it's like, oh, they're playing great defense. They're not. You'd watch the game and they're giving up chunks and chunks and chunks. And they were playing Washington last year, and Penn State played Maryland that night. And Jack and I were driving back together, and we're listening to the USC broadcast. And, of course, Washington had a great team last year. And Peter Orbegast is doing the game. He says, they give it to Robinson. There he goes again. It's another long one. There he goes again. It's another long one. There he goes again. And the two of us are laughing in the car because he's just not hiding his disdain.
That's pretty bad. Look, I've been through that in our sport. When you know the guy who's starting that night isn't going to get out of the second.
You
can see it coming. You just know. You just know. It's one of those things. So what are you going to do? You got to describe it, but it's like, well, this is really a shocker that this guy can't get anybody out with that stuff he's got tonight.
to quote the movie series Mission Impossible, hope is not a strategy.
Oh, that's hey. Do they have to? You guys have to go down to Harrisburg to fly out. Is that what
yes.
I've been reading?
Yeah. That's how they'll have to do it because they're going to take a 777 out. They can't get a 777 in here.
Yeah.
So
that's
how to do it. And look, 777s have beds and things like that, so that really helps, especially the post game coming back.
Yeah. I know. I when I went to Europe this year, we took one of those, and they are great. I mean, there's a lot of great accommodations on that. But yeah, there's no way that you could just take a normal size, even a stretch of some kind out there. You had to get the big plane. So I thought I'd read that they had to do that. You'll be all right though. You'll be able to land at LAX. They can handle it.
Oh yeah, they can handle that. That's no problem. I'm going to be interested to see how we do the basketball thing. You know, may have to stop twice.
Oh, right. Well, you know, you and I talked about this, that when this happened, when they added these teams, you know, it's kind of cool and all that they're in, but it presents some immense problems, I would think, for travel, and that'll be the first time Penn State's going to deal with it, I guess.
Yeah, first time through it, but you know what? Hey, at least we're not going by train. We're not driving out. So you know what? I always tell everybody. I just go where they tell me to go. After that, I'm good.
We used to fly an airline when we first started our charters. It was great. It's called Ozark. It was out of St. Louis.
Oh, I remember them.
Remember, they had a lot of DC-9s. They were smaller airplanes, but they were great. Meals and all, we all loved them. I mean, who cared? Because we were flying charters now. But when we were going west, we had to stop. We had to do a fuel stop because, you know, obviously you're going into the headwinds when you're headed west, so we would have to stop. But, they'll put more for the players. I'll put more food and booze on the plane. They'll be all right.
You are the best.
Well, let me put it this way. Some of the broadcasters.
Some, and I know which ones. All right. So you are the best. We'll talk soon, my friend.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve. I always enjoy it. It's great catching up with you. And I love listening to you guys do the games.
Hey, by the way, is the place in Clearwater okay?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for asking. Yeah, I'm up on a bluff. I'm up real high.
Okay, good.
So, good. You know, if the water gets up there, we got to get an arc. You know, we're all right up there. But the beach area, unfortunately, got smoked. There's a lot of damage over there, and it's very sad.
That kickoff in the Outback Bowl by Stout, did you get the ball signed? No, I'm just kidding. No.
I did laugh when you said that landed in my yard.
I had to do it. I had to.
He had a thunderfoot, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Hey, you're the best, my man.
Thanks, buddy. All right.
You too.
Anytime. Love talking with you.
Same here. He is the best. That is Chris Wheeler. Half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.